Okay, our next talk will be by Marius. It will be about continuous time Markov chains, and I will pass you to him.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to talk about a special missing data problem today, and this is how to estimate the parameters of a continuous time Markov chain, given that I have only discrete time observations. This problem is also known as the embedding problem for Markov chains. And to get a little bit an idea of this very special problem, what do we want to do? We want to estimate the parameters of a continuous time Markov chain, and we have some data that we assume this is an appropriate model for. So we have states that we can jump from and to, and the problem is now, this might be a single trajectory that I have observed, but I have observed only the states at the beginning and at the end of a certain discrete time period. So these are time zero and capital T. What has happened in between concerning the jumps and the times at which these jumps have taken place, we don't know. That's the anatomy of this missing data situation. Just a short recap, what are the parameters of a continuous time Markov chain, because this is what we want to estimate. They are usually referred to as generator matrix, intensity matrix, transition rate matrix, there are a lot of names for it, but it's all the same. What are the parameters? They are usually in this setting where we have off-diagonal elements which are non-negative and diagonal elements which are the negative row sum of all these off-diagonal elements. And what's the advantage of this setting? To put it up like this, the advantage is that we have a matrix exponential relationship between these generator matrices and discrete time transition matrices, which means that if I multiply the generator matrix with a discrete time horizon or an arbitrary discrete time horizon and take the matrix exponential of it, I will get a transition matrix, a conditional transition matrix for exactly this time horizon. Now, I'd like to talk about this missing data problem, but I'd also like to put some numbers on it, so to show how it works in practice. And the example that I will show is when I have credit rating migration data. This is data from rating agency Standard & Poor's. And this is discrete time observations. So this is for the single year 2000. We have all obligors in their portfolio, which rating they had at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year. And this discrete time transition matrices, absolute transition frequencies and relative transition frequencies, these are the basis now to estimate a continuous time, to fit a continuous time Markov chain to estimate the generator matrix. And if I have done so, I can use the matrix exponential relationship and make predictions of such transition matrices for arbitrary time horizons. So this is the whole problem from an applied point of view. And these are the data sets that I'm using now to illustrate my package, CTMCD, CTMC, continuous time Markov chain, D, estimations from discrete time data. What approaches are there to estimate the parameters, these generator matrices now? There are some heuristic approaches that basically work by inversely using this matrix exponential relationship, and this is take the matrix logarithm. And taking the matrix logarithm, it can be defined in analogy to the scalar logarithm using a series representation, but the problem is I will get a matrix out of this, but this matrix is not necessarily fulfilling the generator matrix constraints, especially it might not necessarily fulfill that the off-diagonal elements are non-negative. And so there are approaches, very basic approaches, that say I take this as a candidate solution and I adjust it in a way so that I can derive a proper generator matrix. The most basic idea is to just take negative off-diagonal elements, set them to zero, and then adjust the diagonal elements in a second step so that the row sum of the single generator matrix rows is again zero, so that all constraints are fulfilled. Another idea is not to adjust the diagonal elements, but adjust the other off-diagonal elements, which are positive, and then redistributed according to some weighting of the absolute values of these positive off-diagonal elements. And the most professional of these approaches, in my opinion, is the following: from the set of all possible generator matrices, I take the one which is closest to this candidate solution, closest, for instance, in terms of square deviations. And what's the advantage here is those two authors, they provided an exact algorithm that solves this problem in a very efficient way. And these three approaches I have implemented in my package. How can they be accessed? They can be accessed using the GM function, GM for generator matrix. I get a generator matrix if I provide my discrete time transition data. And for these matrix logarithm based approaches, this has to be a matrix of relative transition frequencies. So this was the matrix on the right at the beginning. I have to specify this data. I have to specify on what time horizon I have recorded this data. So this is a single year, the year 2000 for my Standard and Poor's data. And I have to specify the method that I want to use. So this is DA for diagonal adjustment, WA for weighted adjustment, and QO for quasi-optimization. And then I get this generator matrix estimate. And I also wrote a plot function. You can have this as a matrix in your output, but you can also plot this. And maybe if you have a large state space, this might give you some information, this highlighting, that you get an idea of the quantities if the numbers, if your state space is very large and it's not so easy to oversee what these numbers actually are like concerning their quantities. A more professional approach is to conduct maximum likelihood estimation. And as I said, we have a missing data problem here. A very common way of performing maximum likelihood estimation for latent variables is to use the expectation maximization algorithm. And this, an instance of this algorithm has been described for this problem by Blood and Sørensen in 2005. And the algorithm has a particular simple form. If the likelihood function of my complete data is part of the exponential family. And for the continuous time Markov chain likelihood function, this is the case. And this is why this expectation maximization algorithm can be put in this very simple form as I have it here. I have to initialize it. Then I derive the conditional expectations of my latent variables. So this is Ri of t, my cumulative continuous time sojourn times. This is what I have not observed within this discrete time horizon for all trajectories, and Nij of t, this is my cumulative state changes. And I impute this missing data now concerning the using the actual parameter estimate and the discrete time data that I have. And then I can, in a second step, also estimate the new parameter estimate and iterate between those two steps until convergence is assumed. The problem is just I have to derive these expectations for the E step. And this is kind of the problem of this algorithm, because conditional expectations, I have to evaluate integrals, and these are integrals over matrix exponential functions. And these are extremely costly. And standard integration techniques, integrating R, this will fail because this is so slow, it will not arrive at all. The problem is now to find a solution to compute these integrals in a very effective way. And what we're using here is an approach of Van Loan, who looked at integrals over matrix exponentials in a very theoretical way, that this integral can be equivalently represented by a single matrix exponential computation of a special augmented matrix of parts of this integrand here. And then we just have to evaluate the matrix exponential once, and we have a very performant solution to compute these integrals. But without this, it would not work, basically. It would not be fast enough to be so that it can be applied. How can this now be accessed in the CTMCD package? Again, using the generator matrix function, but this time you have to specify a matrix of absolute transition frequencies, because for these matrix algorithm-based approaches, we need relative transition frequencies. Here we need absolute transition frequencies. Again, we need the time horizon that the data was recorded on. We specify that this is that the EM algorithm shall be used, and we need an initial guess. So I made up a very rude initial guess here, and I specified that we have an absorbing default state. This is credit migration data. So once an obligor has defaulted, it's in an absorbing state. It cannot escape this state anymore, and it's important that the method knows this if we have an absorbing state. Maybe if we apply this to gene sequence data, we won't have this problem. The advantage if we perform maximum likelihood estimation here is that we can also do statistical inference, derive confidence intervals. I implemented a method of Augs. He derives asymptotic normality of the maximum likelihood estimate for the expectation maximization algorithm, as this one doesn't give you directly second order derivatives out of this algorithm, but he finds a decomposition of the marginal likelihood function so that this can be derived, and Blood and Sorensen concretized this expression in 2009, and I implemented this. How can it be accessed? Now using the GMCI, generator matrix confidence interval function, you have to plug in your expectation maximization algorithm object here and specify the significance level, and can again use a generic plot function to plot these results. Problem is just if the estimated intensities are very small, then no confidence bounds will be derived, because then the asymptotics won't hold and numerical instabilities would occur. So if they are very small, then they are set to zero. So there is a little bit instability in this method, and maybe if somebody wants to use this, he has to know this. And also, if somebody's wondering, the lower bounds here are negative. I said the off-diagonal elements are non-negative. Of course, if you use asymptotic normality on a bounded parameter space, this can occur in this case. These are the disadvantages I'd like to point out. This was maximum likelihood estimation, and to complete statistical inference, I also implemented a Bayesian approach, very similar to the expectation maximization algorithm. Also, a Gibbs sampler can be implemented, and this time I will actually give you the likelihood function of the continuous time Markov chain. It will look like this, and a Gibbs sampler can be derived because we can have the full conditional distribution. This is the complete time, the complete continuous time, complete data continuous time likelihood function. So in this missing data setting, we can derive an analytical expression for the full conditional distribution of the actual parameters given the latent data using the gamma distribution, because the gamma distribution is the conjugate. As a conjugate prior in this case. So we have an analytical expression for this second full conditional here in the algorithm, and the first full conditional, so the full conditional distribution of the continuous time data, the data that has to be imputed, given the actual parameters, the generator matrix estimate of the current iteration, that draws from this distribution represent paths from the continuous time Markov chain given this actual parameter set, but now conditioned that we not only know the beginning of the trajectory, but also the end state. And as for the E step in the EM algorithm, this is the bottleneck of this algorithm. We have to simulate paths from a continuous time Markov chain where we also have the end state fixed, and this in a very performant way. So a very simple idea would just be to draw a holding time and then a state change, a holding time, a state change, and then reject these paths as long as they don't end up in the right end state. But this will be very slow if the discrete time transition to this end state is very low. And so what has been implemented here is a speed up version of what I just told. This naive rejection sampling scheme can be speed up by analytically deriving first holding times, first state changes. And what is also very performing, or or the best performing approach is to make use of a so-called uniformization representation, which dates back to Jensen, 1953, where you can simulate data on a uniform distribution level and then redistribute and then transform it in a way so that this is really equivalent to deriving these realizations in this endpoint condition setting. But this could fill a talk on its own. How do you access the method now? Again, using the generator matrix function. Again, as for the maximum likelihood estimation, we need absolute transition frequencies. We have to specify that this is a Gibbs sampler, and now we have to specify a burn-in period and the prior parameters. The prior parameters have to be provided as a list object, and the first object of this list is a vector of these alpha parameters of the gamma distribution. So this is, we have a vector of the length of the size of the state space of our Markov chain, and the beta parameters is a matrix of size of the state space times size of the state space. And again, we see this is the prior for the holding times, and this is the prior for the state changes. So we have to tell the method that we have an absorbing default state in this, and I put this in by setting this to zero and this to infinity. And we can again derive credibility intervals using this GMCI function. These are equal-tailed credibility intervals, so these have the advantage that they can be very easily computed for all entries, also if there is scarce data and far from the main diagonal data with this credit rating data will always be scarce. And another advantage is that this can be also very, very simply computed for transformations of the parameters. For the confidence interval based on asymptotic normality, this would not be that simple. Finally, why? What is this useful for? So I provided the methods illustrated in a credit risk context. Why did I do this? There is some upcoming accounting regulation for banks. It's called International Financial Reporting Standard 9, and it will take effect in 2018. And in contrast to the current regulation, this will require banks not to evaluate credit risk and expected losses for the balance sheets, not on a single year time horizon, but for the whole maturity of their credits. But on the other hand, they have very inefficient data collection processes, or they're buying data from external rating agencies and have only provided it on a discrete time level, also for reasons of privacy protection in some cases. And so this is a problem. They have to estimate it from discrete time data, but they have to make predictions for arbitrary time horizon as long as the maturity of the financial obligation is. However, the whole methodology can also be applied in very different settings. Most of the literature that I used is about gene sequence analysis, so I think this package might have a potential for application in biostatistics as well. Thank you very much.